Imagine having to ingest 4,500 kilos of dates per day just to keep your body going. Some think that's a middle schooler's daily diet, but NSTA reviewer Jacob Blickenstaff puts such hyperbole aside and notes several ways that teachers could use the latest King Kong version, Kong Skull Island, to talk about scaling limits, food intake, and even racial stereotypes in the science classroom.
An uncharted island.
Let me list all the ways you're gonna die. Rain, heat, disease-carrying flies, and we haven't started on the things that want to eat you alive.
We'll double that.
Plus a bonus if we make it back.
If?
There have been many versions of King Kong since the original film came out in 1933. There are a few essential features. Kong is a huge male gorilla-like creature living on a remote island, usually known as Skull Island, and he usually is living with other supersized creatures like lizards or dinosaurs or spiders or something like that. Kong is typically worshipped as a god by the indigenous people. An expedition from the modern world finds the island and wants to exploit it in some way, sometimes for resources, sometimes as a filming location. At some point, Kong bonds with a human woman, and sometimes he is removed from the island and taken to New York City. Kong rarely survives to the end of the film. The best-known versions of this story came out in 1933, in 1976, and in 2005. Though the most recent retelling, Kong Skull Island, is set in the early 1970s, with the idea that Skull Island was discovered by a new global satellite imaging system. The island had not been previously discovered because it is surrounded by a permanent hurricane-like storm system. A U.S. government representative, Bill Randa, played by John Goodman, justifies an expedition to the island for mapping and oil exploration, though he really believes that the Earth has underground spaces where monsters live. The expedition is primarily military, led by Lieutenant Colonel Preston Packard, played by Samuel L. Jackson, and supported by expert tracker James Conrad, Tom Hiddleston. Photojournalist Mason Weaver, played by Brie Larson, leaves her work in Vietnam to join the trip. The operation includes many military helicopters that penetrate the storm and drop seismic charges to map underground features, ostensibly looking for oil, but really searching for hollow places that Randa believes hold monsters. The explosives upset King Kong, and he takes it out on the helicopters.
In this dirty old part of the city, where the sun refuses to shine.
Is that a monkey?
We learn pretty quickly that Randa's theory is correct, and there are in fact many terrible giant lizard-like creatures under Skull Island, and Kong is the one who protects the human residents from these skull crawlers. There's more to the plot, but here are some ways teachers could use Kong to support lessons in life science. Scaling limits. A favorite science fiction trope enlarges an everyday creature to ramp up the fear factor. As I've mentioned in other columns, the biomechanics of bone and muscle cause significant problems when you scale up an animal to giant proportions. See my Monsters vs. Aliens review, available online. Also online, you'll find a chart of King Kong's sizes in the four most popular films. There you'll see that he ranges from 6 meters to 31 meters in height, and that means he would range in mass from 4 to 550 tons. To calculate the scaled mass in this chart, I started with a 2-meter tall and 150-kilogram gorilla. If you double its height and length and width of anything, its mass increases by a factor of 8. That's 2 times 2 times 2. So, for example, the 2005 Kong is about 4 times larger than a gorilla, so his mass should be about 64 times bigger. I also converted the scaled mass into elephant equivalents in the chart to give a frame of reference. It would be a neat class activity to have students estimate Kong's height from visual cues in the still image, then replicate the calculation I did to create the chart. Note that in the 1933 and 1976 versions, the filmmakers were not consistent from one shot to another with King Kong's size. In both, he was smaller in the jungle and much larger when he reached New York. It should go without saying that a creature the size of the 2017 Kong would have some difficulty getting around. At 550 tons, he's more than 2.5 times more massive than a blue whale, which is the largest animal known to have ever lived on the Earth. Without supportive water around him, Kong's feet would have to hold up that entire weight just to stand still. Jumping would multiply the forces on his limbs even more, and would therefore be impossible. Feeding the beast. If Kong is like the gorillas he appears based on, his diet should be mostly plants, though insects and other animals could certainly make up about a third of his diet. How much food would he need each day? That also depends a great deal on which Kong we're considering, as size is a major factor. The World Builders website, link available in the online and print versions of this, has a neat tool to help calculate the approximate nutritional needs of an animal based on its size. This website is based on Kleiber's Law, which is an approximation and may not apply perfectly to very large animals, but it's at least a reasonable tool for this task. My calculation is that our 2017 Kong would need about 13 million food calories every day. If he was able to find a really calorie-dense food, dates for example, he'd then need to eat about 4,500 kilograms of dates every day just to stay alive. The smaller Kongs from past films would, of course, need much less food, and students could make their own calculations. Finally, we cannot ignore King Kong and race. Teachers cannot and should not ignore the complex history of racial politics in the King Kong movies. In every iteration, King Kong is a giant black-skinned figure who captures and menaces an explicitly white woman. When that woman cares for Kong, he often ends up dead at the hands of a group of white men, who could easily be seen as a lynch mob. In addition, Skull Island native people are almost always represented in broad negative stereotypes. Finally, collecting Kong from his home and bringing him to North America in chains is a near enough analogy to the transatlantic slave trade that it really should be discussed. I am not the first to note Kong's place in a long history of racist portrayals of people of African ancestry. An article from 2005, available in the online and print versions of this podcast, and goes into this detail. Kong Skull Island and the other films featuring the King will give biology teachers an opportunity to discuss energy needs, scaling, and potentially talk about racism in monster movies.
For more of Dr. Blickenstaff's reviews, go to the NSTA website and search for Blick on Flicks.
I'm trying to scare you.
I'm fine calling them that. Are you cool with it?
Yeah, that seems like
I like the name.